What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts,
Anne Catherine
and Caroline. If you're watching, we are in a new location today.
Actually, hi, brief intermission. The video that we recorded had some issues, so this episode will be audio only. But if you do want to check out the video clips that we took from Thailand, those will be posted on the Girls with Goals Instagram account at Girls with Goals Pod. If you do want to go check that out, that's where it'll be. It'll be up on the feed later this week. Thank you.
I wonder if it's echoing on this recording because I literally hear it echoing in the room.
Yeah, the room is like very, very tall.
Yes, but we booked a room in our apartment building that's supposed to be like a party room. Like there's a kitchen in here and everything because we just wanted a little change of location.
But it's really pretty, so I thought it'd be a really good location to record.
And it's this huge giant room and we're just chilling on the couch here, but it's kind of nice.
Like a full-on, like someone's having a party outside and I really can't comprehend what's going on because there's someone in a suit. There's like half people are in bathing suits, half people are in like gym clothes. Someone's just walking around in a suit and I'm not quite sure what it's, the vibe is.
It's quite confusing. It's like 1 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon, but anyway. There's a party going on right outside. So it's providing our entertainment while we provide you entertainment.
All right, let's get into our highs and goals. Also, if you guys already read the title, today we're going to be talking about highs and lows and how the extremes of them can be extreme. That's something that we've been talking about recently, and I've been feeling so much recently in the past, like, 6 months. This has been one of the biggest topics that I think about. Let's get into our highs, lows, and goals, because we do these at the beginning of every episode, kind of smaller highs and lows.
Of the week?
Of the week to, like, I don't know, it for me, and I know that I've talked to you guys about it, there were a couple weeks where we didn't do this, and so many of you guys wrote in to the Girls with Goals Instagram account at Girls with Goals Pod about how you miss them and how it helps you guys to stay grounded and kind of, you know, recenter yourself. Mm-hmm. And we miss them too. Like, I think that helps more than I know it, you know, it helps more than I can imagine. But
life moves fast. And sometimes life feels like it moves slow. I feel like it works either way. Like, when life moves fast, it's nice to reflect on what's gone on every week, your highs, lows, set small goals. And then also when you feel like life isn't really moving forward, it can help you think of what actually went wrong or what are actually some good moments that I overlooked and wasn't that grateful for. So I also appreciate the highs, lows, and goals of the week. This past week, we were on vacation. We've been in Thailand, and it was great. It was a top. It was the high nice of months.
All of us, our entire, we went with our mom and dad, and our whole family. We came back, like, that was literally the best week, day, whatever.
In a very long time.
So long, and yeah. We all agreed. And it wasn't, like, I really like this. We'll get into, like, the extremes of highs and lows, but I liked it because the whole time I was feeling good and comfortable and like calmly high on life. Mm. Like, if that makes sense. And it wasn't like, because sometimes if you travel or have like a crazy experience, it's like, oh my god, I'm so like up so high on life, and then you can feel the crash or you're waiting and anticipating for the crash. But like, I did not feel that way. It was just a good, this life right now is clicking with me. Mm. Type of vacation. And that's what I liked about it. And I think for other people, I feel like that's how we kind of all felt. And that's why it was a really good time for us.
Yeah, we were in Phuket, Thailand. And the odds were kind of in our favor from the second that we landed.
True. It was like, yeah.
Because if you guys have been listening, following along to our past few episodes, being able to plan a trip with our family since we've been in Singapore has been very difficult. There's been a lot of travel restrictions and just so many complications. And it just felt like when we actually got on this trip, like, all of that struggle and, like, lows, I guess, that we kind of went through to get there just totally flipped on its head. And we had very good luck and had a very good time from the second that we get there, starting with when we showed up and we go to check into our hotel. They were like, oh, and by the way, we upgraded you. It's a much bigger room.
And we were like, oh, that's great. Thank you. Expecting it to be just like, oh my god, different side of the hotel. Right. No.
Right? Like, you got the ocean view, not the pool view, you know?
No. We got, like, literally probably the best room in the whole hotel. It was insane. It was
two villas.
It was gigantic. Like,
two villas next to each other.
And it went out into the pool. Like, And it was just so nice.
Yeah, so they walk us to our room. And then before we get to, like, the main hotel building, they were like, oh, we're here. And it was, like, the villas. And we were like, what?
What?
And then they open the door and we walk in. And it's, like, a big villa with, like, glass doors that open right up to a pool. Like, walk, step right down into a private pool. Our parents were in the villa right next to us. We could, like, swim to each other. And, like, that was just not our expectation at all, right? Like, we booked a regular hotel room. So, like, right off the bat, our first night, and we had just got there, we were all hungry. We order room service. We have pad thai while we're sitting, like, in our private pool. Like, it just was incredible from that first moment. And also really cool that we weren't expecting that, right? I think that made it better that, like, we didn't have that expectation. It just kind of, like, fell in our laps. And so we got to appreciate that a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And also didn't feel guilty because we weren't, like, completely balling out. Like, it just felt like an extra, you know?
It was very nice. Mm. All right, so specific highs, lows, and goals. Do you have some planned out?
Okay, well, my goal from last week, knowing that we were going on this vacation, was to disconnect, was to, like, be off my phone as much as possible. And I definitely did that. And I think that that is what made this such an effective vacation, as you will. Like, I felt like I was really present in the moment. I really didn't give myself any responsibilities or things to do at all, and I was very intentional about not being on my phone. Like, I really, like, wasn't texting people that much. I wasn't scrolling that much. If I was just chilling, doing nothing on the beach, which was most of the time, I journaled, I read a book, I swam a lot in the ocean, and I really was not on my phone much. And so that was my goal from last week that probably made my high for the week, because obviously, like, the overall high was going on this trip, but I think just the feeling of the trip, of having no responsibilities, feeling very disconnected and just present with myself and where we were and swimming in the ocean. So that was my high, how present I felt.
I think I agree with the not being on the phone. I know for pictures, I'm always like, because of course part of our job is, like, we take pictures and we have to, like, we share that, and I love taking pictures. Sometimes in the past, like, that has taken over experiences, mm-hmm. and that's something that, like, I'm super conscious of. And I think this trip, especially, I don't know what felt different about it, but I took a lot of pictures and a lot of good pictures and, like, you know, candids and stuff, but it wasn't, I only, like, documented or shared, mm-hmm. like, 10% of it maybe, and it felt great.
I think that we both just didn't try to do too much. Like, when it came to recording videos, we were super excited. We have the video podcast mm-hmm. now to be able to share videos on the podcast. So knowing that, I was like, okay, I'm not going to vlog this, because I didn't really feel, like, drawn to vlogging it. And I knew that we were doing this instead. So, like, I didn't overdo it by pushing myself to do that as well. And when it came mm-hmm. to taking pictures, we didn't really, like, force photo shoots and things like that. It was just kind of more so like, oh, this is such great lighting, this is beautiful, let's, like, take pictures now, yeah. right?
It didn't feel... I think we only had one day where we actually took, like, self-pictures, you know what I mean?
It didn't feel like we were trying to do too much or that we were forcing anything, which it feels good just not to, like, force anything. I feel like that just kind, like, of goes with everything in life. Yeah. Like, what comes naturally and, like, flows better always feels better than just forcing something. How about a low?
My low was, like, our first day there.
Oh my god, I forgot.
That was, like, a low of lows.
Yeah.
Our first day there, for some reason, I don't know what was going on, but I've, like, never had a worse body image day, like, by far, in years and years, and it was insane. It was the most uncomfortable feeling. It was, like, it was so bad, but...
But what was, like... I feel like, when did it start? What like, triggered it? Because it was, like, all of a sudden, it was our first day on the beach, and then Catherine just, like,
but it's
felt
not like,
awful.
But it's not, like, you know, sometimes the first time you, like, put a bathing suit on for summer, it's not like that, because
I've We've been wearing bathing suits
for months and months, like, and I haven't had bad body image. I don't know what was going on. I think it was, like, honestly, it was, like, it was the bathing suit that I was wearing, which is crazy, because the one that I was wearing, like, I typically love it, and I...
Yeah, but it also has to be, like... some sort of mental, right? Like, I feel like there had to be a mental trigger there, because you've worn that bathing suit before and you've loved it. So I feel like that's it must have been a big combination. Something that you said to me was that it was, like, because you were in a public place and it was, like, people were perceiving you, kind of thing. Like, maybe that made it uncomfortable, that...
I don't really know, because now that I'm out of it, I'm like, that was so uncalled for, like, that made no sense. But in it, sometimes I'm like, if I'm having a bad body image and it's just like in my house, it helps me to actually go out and be around other people. And then I realized that there's actually so much more, like no one cares, right? Like, and also when I'm around people, like I feel more confident and I feel more comfortable, because you're just interacting with people. And I feel like being around people allows you to be yourself more. Once you're comfortable in yourself enough, like that's a great space to like be yourself, and it makes you feel a lot more aligned with yourself, mm-hmm. because you're practicing everything that you've worked on, right? Sometimes the opposite happens, where it's like being out in public, like around people, is like, oh my god, there's a spotlight, everyone, like I don't know, I was like, everyone is looking at me and everyone is like, oh my god, who is that, like why is she even on the beach, like who allowed her to do this? And I'm like, shut, like what is my brain doing, like for why? Because no, number one, no one cares, no one's looking at me, no one knows me, right? Like I'm in a different country, everyone else is from a different country, like no one knows me, no one cares, no one is like, oh my god, who is that, that's gross, like who let her on the beach? Mm-hmm. But like, why did my brain tell me to do that, to think that way? I don't know. But being out of it now that like the next day was like kind of difficult, and but like the more I told myself shut up and get over it, I shut up and got over it.
What do you think, like, actually got over it? Because I know that that first day, like, in Catherine, she was just treating herself like shit. She really was. She was being very mean to herself. And the rest of our family was like, well, shit, we just came on this vacation that we've been looking forward to forever. Like, we don't want her to feel bad, and we also don't want this to, like, ruin.
Everything I was
and
saying.
We also, like don't want this to ruin the vacation. And I was like, okay, I feel like we just keep, like, positive reinforcement, but also, like, don't push it. And because I think that we'll move past, she'll, like, move past it, because I mean, that's kind of what happens with bad body image moments.
Just,
it's like anything else, it flares up and then it kind of goes away. But like, what do you think actually improved that for the rest?
I was like, I'm not going to ruin everyone else's vacation, so just shut up. And I just kept it in my head. And then I was like, shut up. And then I shut up.
But was it like keeping it in your head, or did you eventually like actually move past it and like feel better?
I think a little bit, of course. Like, obviously, like, bad days are bad days, and it ends at the day, right? Like, things change day by day. But I think if you don't, like, give power to your thoughts, or you don't, honestly, literally tell yourself to shut up. I've said that so many times, mm-hmm. but literally tell yourself, because basically when you're having a moment where your brain is telling you, like, negative or intrusive thoughts, you and your mind that is telling you things like that are completely different. So you can tell yourself to shut up, like, tell yourself to literally shut up and back off and, like, go away, and eventually it will.
It is weird when you're, like, being mean to yourself in a moment. You almost feel like it's two separate people.
No,
like,
you're,
you and the voice
in
your head are feel so different.
You're
and
fully,
I,
like, in a fight with yourself in your head, and it's, like, no one else can see that or knows that or hears anything that you're saying, but I'm literally in my head. I'm, like, no, like, fighting with myself. Mm-hmm. Like, two completely articulated arguments, like, going on in my head. And it's, like, it's insane how your mind works.
I do think that's one of the keys to, like, the most positive life that you can have is building a positive relationship with yourself and never feeling like, or not, maybe not never, but, like, not often feeling like you're disconnected from the voice in your head. Like, always being able to have a narrative with yourself that you feel like you know yourself, you're talking to yourself, you're understanding yourself, like, as one. And you're not this, like, external thing, like, fighting yourself.
But also understanding that in those moments, it is you versus your head, and they're two completely different things in that moment, in those situations.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking at myself in the screen, and I just, if you're watching on video on Spotify or YouTube, I'm wearing a white shirt and white pants right now,
and the
sun is hitting me, and I'm just, like, a ghost.
So bright. I mean, I think my low was just when we got back to Singapore and I had a lot of work piled up that I didn't do on vacation, which I'm glad that I didn't work or make myself really do anything on vacation. But I mean, the fact of life is that, like, we have responsibilities and we have work. So when you avoid them at one part, then you have to do them at another. And I feel like that is a little bit related to what we're talking today with high highs and low lows, about how sometimes if you ignore certain things or get rid of responsibilities and things in order to have, like, a really high moment, does that inevitably mean that then you have to have a low right after that to compensate? Because that is a little bit what it felt like for me when I came back and I had a bunch of work piled up that I had to get to. It felt a little bit like a crashing low.
Yeah, that's, my goodness, that has been in my head for months and months, that like idea. I feel like I've been so much more conscious of when I'm up high, oh my God, I'm about to drop off. And I spend the whole time where I should be like feeling good and feeling literally like high on life, I spend the whole time in fear almost of like, what is the crash going to be? Because the higher you go up, the lower you go down. Like, law of, what is it? Newton's whatever law. Science.
Maybe.
My goal from last week, though, before we went on this trip, was I wanted to do yoga on the beach or do some stretching on the beach. And I did. I tried. It was like 7 a.m. on the beach. And it was just me and then all of the, like, workers from all the hotels and restaurants like around on the beach, so it was a little uncomfortable to just be doing yoga and like stretching right there in the fishbowl of there's no one else on the beach, so I did feel a little uncomfortable, but I did feel like maybe 10 minutes before I was like, this is enough, like, I've had enough, people are watching. But I have been stretching a lot more because I kind of dropped off of stretching, and it like I'm so inflexible now. So I've been stretching before bed and like after my workout, before my workout a little bit. And it's been nice. I quite enjoy it. It's like a nice wind down.
My goal this week is probably organization because I just started unpacking. We've been home for a few days and I just started unpacking. And so I want to unpack and just feel organized and just like keep my space clean and organized this week. A clean space creates a clean mental space as well, and that's what I need. So
high highs and low lows. There's so much to say about this that it's like I comprehend it enough in my head, but it's so uncomfortable to like think through enough to be able to put words to it.
I have been feeling a lot recently, and I can't pinpoint if it's like...
Is Mercury in retrograde? No, I was going to ask that today because I'm really...
Mercury can't always be in retrograde.
Well, why does it feel like it is?
I don't know if it's just been this past 4 months living in Singapore or if it started before this. I really can't pinpoint it. But I do feel like it definitely has been furthered since being here. This past 4 months has turned out to be like definitely one of the most challenging times of my life. A little bit unexpectedly, this past 4 months has been like an extremely challenging time for me, like life-wise, mental health-wise, all different things. And so with that, I have noticed that I feel like I'm either having high highs or I'm having low lows, and that those highs and lows have been getting increasingly close together in particular.
Like, instead of like high, low kind of evens out and then oh another high, like of life, you know, life with, yeah, like normal waves. It's like
I feel like every day hits
like
me
up
differently.
And down, like every hour. Yeah. You're like, holy, yeah, shit, can, yeah, we just slow down?
Yeah. Just about every day hits me differently. And that, it doesn't feel good because honestly I feel like I've been on this like emotional and physical roller coaster because it just affects your whole body and everything about you, that like literally so often recently I have been just like feeling nauseous, like puke worthy. I say so many days to my family, I'm like, I literally feel like puking, even though I don't throw up, like my body doesn't do that. I just like,
is it just like being anxious?
I think so. I don't know. I just like feel nauseous, and I think it's an anxious feeling. It almost feels like I'm on this high low roller coaster, high low, high low, and that it's just like throwing me around, and it's making me feel honestly like physically and mentally sick. And sick also, of it. I'm very sick of it.
The more you feel that way, the less you feel like kind of in control, and the more, yeah, you're just like, shit, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, and of course, take life as it comes. But when it just keeps coming.
I am grateful and like proud of myself for having a pretty strong baseline of self that I have built up, right? Like I do have healthy habits. I do cope with things with exercise and movement. And I do journal sometimes. And I do like, and I do work hard. And I do have a decent sense of discipline, right? So I have this baseline of self that is pretty strong, and that's been helping me kind of get through these ups and downs. But I do feel like I've been thrown very out of control, and it's like I wake up every morning and it's like, what's it gonna be?
Everything is, you know, relative too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because someone has healthy habits or is all around, like, healthier or less healthy on paper, you know, mm-hmm. within that you can have healthy and unhealthy days. And maybe your unhealthy days may look like someone else's healthiest days, but they feel different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about how it feels and how it affects you. And when you're out of control, even if you are coping with healthy habits, like, that doesn't change the fact that you feel out of control. That doesn't change the fact that you feel super low, that you feel, like, uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And I guess what that's felt like for me is that some days I wake up and I have so much motivation for life. I'm like, yay, I'm living in Singapore. I have a whole country to explore. It's sunny and it's warm. I can go outside and go for a run and do all this. Like, some days I wake up and I'm just, like, so motivated for life. Other days I wake up and my head hurts and I feel anxious and I struggle to, like, get myself to do anything. And it almost feels like I rarely have consistently good or baseline days anymore, and that it's either high or it's low.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge. I know we talked about the what to do in difficult phases of your life episode, and that you guys really enjoyed that episode, because a lot of people, I feel like, right now are going through difficult phases of life or have just gone through difficult phases of life. But right now, for both of us, living in Singapore, as much as we love it and as grateful as we are for it, has been so difficult, like, socially.
That's the thing. Anytime we say that it's been hard, we feel like, also,
I feel like I need to say, but I'm so
grateful to be here, but it's so great, right? And that almost, and it's like, I am, right? Like, I love traveling. I have loved my living international experiences before, and I love the fact that I'm living internationally. I think that's what it is. Like, I love the fact that I'm living internationally. I love the fact that I'm following this dream that I had for years.
Going back to, like, how we grew up, and honestly, for me, what I'm comfortable with, like, how I'm comfortable living.
But this environment and Singapore in general, it doesn't feel right for me, and it hasn't felt right mm-hmm. for me. Like, I love the idea of living internationally, being independent, all of this, but living for these past 4 months in this specific environment, like, has not felt good for me and has not been well for me. All of that to say, I was just saying, because I noticed that in Catherine when she said it was hard, said,
I know we say it every time, because what, literally, like, what do we have to complain about on it? Like, sometimes I gaslight myself, I literally convince myself that, like, I'm not, no, this is, mm-hmm. everything's perfect. When it's, like, it's straight up not. Like, yes, I'm so grateful to live in a cool place. This is an experience that I'm well aware that not mm-hmm. many people get, and I'm super appreciative of that. Living in an amazing place, both the country and, like, our physical apartment, like, this is our apartment building, like, that's amazing and incredible, and I love it. I just, it doesn't quite align with me, and a lot of it, like, it's not been good because there's been such an excessive amount of COVID restrictions, and it's been hard to, like, exist and live as a person. We're lonely as fuck here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm grateful for the experience, more so because I know that it really challenged me and that I'm gonna grow from it. So, like, I'm grateful overall to have this experience as part of my life. But in the moment, it doesn't feel good. In the moment, I feel incredibly challenged. In the moment, I feel incredibly lonely. In the moment, I feel extremely demotivated.
And it's honestly, it's in the moment, yes, and I'm acknowledging that, like, this is how I feel in the moment and how it's challenging in the moment, and I love a good challenge. Like,
I'm always up for a challenge.
I'm always up for a challenge. Being challenged, like, excites me, and living in uncomfortable phases excites me, and it always has. I think that my kind of mindset and awareness around it has changed, and I'll talk about that in a second. But even in this moment right now, when I'm aware that I'm being challenged, it's like there's nothing I can do about it in this moment, right? Because the growth kind of, like, you are growing now, but you're not going to see the growth until after, and it's, like, after the fact when you can kind of take the lessons that you learned from it. But I know right now that I'm not able to do that yet. Like, that hasn't been unlocked yet, and it's just super uncomfortable. I still have to go through life and go through this challenging time and just deal with it for now and make the most of it to whatever extent I can, knowing that even though I can't do anything now, I can later. And
Right.
But it doesn't change the fact that it's, like, shitty to go through difficult times. But back to me saying, like, I love discomfort. Honestly, like, I know that's not everyone, but for me, I know maybe it's because we've had a lot of, like, challenging times.
You've become comfortable with discomfort to the point where I think that you get uncomfortable and you retract when things become too consistent in your life.
So true. Anyway, but that doesn't change the fact that, like, that's who I am. I enjoy discomfort. Not when it's overly extreme, though, because extremes are extremes. And I think recently, like, a few years ago, maybe the discomfort was, like, it was minor. It was just enough where it was, like, exciting, a little bit of adrenaline, always having a bit of change. But more recently, I feel like the highs are, like, those higher adrenaline phases of life have been so extreme, and then they drop so low, and then they go back up, and then they drop so low, like Karen was talking about, but kind of on longer phases, that I've grown to be just so uncomfortable with the highs, because I'm like, I spend the whole high, or like the top of it, the mountain, the wave, whatever you want to call it, or however you want to address it, like, I spend that whole time looking down and anticipating and waiting for what's the drop going to be like, or I know there's a drop coming.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, why not just, like, enjoy it?
And so what's the alternative other than having high highs and low lows? Is it that your life is always very consistent? But then it becomes the challenge of, like, okay, but if it's consistent, I want to like what it consistently is, and I want to be happy with that. And so then maybe to build that, you go on chasing new things,
mm-hmm.
which in turn becomes a high, and then it becomes a low, right? Like, how do you even have just the consistency when, in order to have the consistent life that you want, it might require some change? You might want to bring some other things into it, and then you're probably having a bit of a high in that moment to right. chase those things and right. to get those new things. So it's like, how do you even, like, consistency when it's consistency of a lifestyle and life that you want and that you enjoy? But if right. that is not how it actually feels right now, then how can you just say consistency? Because it would require having to go through some change to get to the consistent life that you want. So do you have to have highs and lows to be able to balance out to where you get to what you want?
Like, a couple months ago, I was not doing well. It was like a low point. It was after I had literally, honestly, like, if you guys remember, I was alone in Cambodia with COVID, and I was literally alone, sick and alone. And that, like, I swear to God, it knocked my mental health back years.
I feel like mine as well. Everything since then hasn't been normal.
But no, right after that, there was a month where I could not get myself to do anything. Like, a solid month where this is a bad metric, but I posted on Instagram, like, 3 times, maybe. But when that's your job, like, that's shitty. And it feels shitty, and I felt so guilty because I, like, couldn't get myself to do it, but I couldn't get myself to do it. And at that point, I was like, okay, you know what? I was so uncomfortable with the, like, extreme highs and extreme lows. And I was uncomfortable being uncomfortable on the highs. Like, that's my main point. It's not that I don't like, obviously I don't love the lows, but, like, it's not that I'm uncomfortable extremely with the lows. It's that when I'm high, I make it into a low because I'm like, what's coming next? But anyway, I was like, I'm done with that. I'm going to focus on just trying to stay, like, neutral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, staying in the middle, like, being consistent and, you know, having some sort of, like, baseline. And so I spent my time, I, like, tried to stay on routine and, like, focus on the little things, which I value the little things. I just, that got so boring so fast. And even though in the beginning I was like, okay, this is nice. I feel, like, calm, and I feel like I'm not, you know, kind of up and down with my brain, but that got boring and I got sick of it. Not that I wanted to scrap all of that, but, like, you need some spice in your life.
Yeah.
Need some interest. And that's what, like, of course I love highs and lows. Like, I enjoy the extremes. It creates interest. It creates stories. It creates, like, growth, and it creates change in who you are. Like, we have a whole lifetime.
Yeah.
What is it if you don't use it to become 1,000 different versions of yourself, right? Like,
and get to know yourself and accept yourself and just, like, enjoy life as yourself.
Right.
I don't know. I'm, like, thinking and kind of spiraling in my head right now, trying to think, like, so what is the answer? Because this is an episode that we came into with no answer. We came into this just saying life has felt like high highs and low lows. Let's talk about that. This isn't like a a five steps or our advice to do this or something, because truly, like, I don't know the answer to this, and even right now my head is spiraling a little bit.
My main questions that I wrote down are to kind of guide myself to an answer, or try to, I don't know, ask you guys for an answer, is what do you think is better, like having the high highs and low lows or staying neutral? Because I think, obviously, that's like a personal preference to a certain extent, but like, I tried the neutral and I've had the high highs and low lows, and if I had to choose one or the other, I think I would choose the high highs and low lows, but neither of those are like the perfect option. You have to have some sort of mix of both. Mm-hmm. And I think finding out what that mix is for you and how that mix manifests for you is a personal answer, and it's going to be different for everyone.
I think that the answer essentially is that you have to have some sort of baseline of consistency in your life. Yeah. Some like neutral consistency that grounds you, right? Because I know that I have had that before, right? I know that I have, and almost it feels like sometimes the best things happen when you're not actually thinking about them too much and you're trying so hard for them, right? Because I know that now, like, I'm going to try to build more consistency, and you can do that by building habits and routines and stuff. But how do you build a grounding baseline of consistency that allows you to fluctuate up and down from there, but you always come back to that neutral zone? And I know that I have had that before, but right now I feel like I'm going right from high, right to low, back up to high, back down to low, and I don't know what my neutral is anymore. And that's what I'm missing. It's not that I don't want to feel the highs, and it's not that I don't see the silver lining in the lows. It's that I don't want every moment of life to feel either really high or really low. I want to be content with a consistent baseline, because I also think that that's what moves life forward in the right direction, is when you have a consistent baseline that is just always there, always like making you feel good. It's those consistent habits, it's those consistent positive feelings, it's the relationship with yourself, and just that everyday thing.
And it's not that when you have that consistency you're not gonna have the highs and lows, that you don't want the highs and the lows. It's that you don't allow the highs and the lows to create that extreme discomfort or knock you down or knock you off of your normal. Like, that normal exists as you move along it, instead of it's one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. And that was my second question that I had written down to answer, is how do you ease the drop-off, or how do you minimize the effects and the feelings and the discomfort of those extremes? And I think the answer to that is having those baselines, like non-negotiables, whatever you want to call it, like foundations of who you are and what you do, to that just like stay through everything, that they just stay. And they can still change. Like, the biggest example is the gym. Sometimes if I'm on a high in life, feeling good for a long period of time, like, my gym time will be super focused on how do I progress, like, how do I get faster, stronger, better. But when I'm on a low, that gym time becomes, okay, this is time for, like, myself, this is time to feel stronger in a different way. Maybe it's not like physically, oh my god, like I see this new muscle, or like I ran this much faster. It's like, how do I, when I'm on a lower phase of life, that gym time becomes like time for calming down, more therapy vibes. Like, it becomes, all right, this is something I'm going to do to make me feel better in my day. This is something I'm going to do to have routine and to keep that consistency and to like physically and mentally feel a little bit clearer and feel a little bit better. Like, even though it's the same action and the same thing and the same time and the same way, it's, I'm thinking about it differently and it's having a different effect on my life because my life is in a different state. But regardless, I still have those kind of foundations.
Something that I think is really important that I need to think about as well is not making a high your new baseline, and also not making your low a new baseline. But I feel like I struggle with it a bit more with a high, because think about like fitness, for example. Say you go for a run one day, you run 5 miles and it feels great. The natural progression in your head, or at least in my head, is like, okay, I did that once, now that's my new baseline. Anything less than that is less than good. Anything more than that is like the next step, right? It, like, I make that the new baseline. Or it could be like a super productive day. I'm super productive one day. Okay, let that be a high. Don't have to force that to be your new baseline. Like, you can let your highs be high moments, because when you try to make that your new baseline, then what actually is your baseline starts to feel more like a low.
And that is really difficult to comprehend. I know I do that all the time, and I talked about this in the last episode, Motivation 101, because I'm like, if I have a day where I'm feeling super motivated, I get a lot more than the typical done. Instead of thinking about that as like a burst or a spike or a high, I end up thinking about that like, wow, this is amazing. Like, look at everything I can accomplish. I will now not accept anything less. And I think thinking about that in terms of highs and lows with life, when you have a high, instead of valuing it as this is a peak, this is a high, this is a burst, this is a moment, and I'm going to enjoy it as what it is, when you take it and say, this is my new baseline, this is the new normal, it's going to be difficult to get even higher than that. And it's going to be easier to drop way lower than that. So then you kind of reevaluate what a low means to you. And then when you make those highs the only acceptable option, you end up experiencing way more low moments.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, you can build out what you want your baseline to be, and like, you can raise your baseline, you can change that baseline, but I think that that's something gradual. That like, yeah, comes gradually, comes over time, and comes from you actually building habits, and isn't just, wow, I performed so much better at this one thing today, now I can never do less than that. I know, like, I haven't worn a smartwatch or like a fitness watch in so long, I just haven't been wearing one, but I know that when I was wearing one consistently, like, if I would have a really big day for steps, then I would be like, okay, well, that's, like, the new normal. Like, right, now I have to match that every day.
That's the other thing with numbers. That's a whole different conversation. But numbers, like you said before, like, oh, I ran 5 miles. I did X number of steps. Like, when it's in a number form, you can't just consciously say, wow, I felt good today. Then that's a whole different angle. But when you determine your highs and lows based on numbers, that like changes
a certain
it
number,
right? That changes it in a different way, and that makes it even harder to hit those, you know, highs and lows, because there's only one acceptable option at that point.
Mm-hmm. Something that I think could be a really helpful mindset switch for a lot of people too when it comes to fitness is, I think a lot of us see our baseline normal as having a really good workout. So then on days where we don't work out, or on days when we work out less or our workout's not as good, we see that as a loss, rather than having your baseline be a day where you don't work out, right? Like, not a day where you do absolutely nothing and lay on the couch, but like, your baseline is just in your head, I guess, a typical day. Even if you work out most days, like, look at workouts as wins instead of looking at not working out as a loss. You know what I mean? I think that that mindset switch, and not even just for working out, but I know that's a common one, but something that you can do for a lot of things, like take studying, for example. If you study really, really hard one day and you get so much done and you feel so productive, like, resist the urge in your head to be like, okay, now I have to do that every time.
No, I will be like, if I have a day where I study, I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, I love this. I feel so productive. I'm so super duper smart. And then I don't study again for like a week.
Mm-hmm. And I do that with myself too. I am a queen of overworking myself, because I just get random bursts of motivation, inspiration, and I want to work really hard at something. And then I go so hard one day. And then the next day, it's like my mind is like burnt out. But also, if I can't reach that same point, then I feel like it's a loss. But in reality, those extra hardworking, extra productive days should be extra wins, but they shouldn't shift to become your new baseline, because then in the long run, that demotivates you and makes you feel like you're doing a lot less, or like you can't do the same thing, and then you end up like doing nothing the next day, right? I know that happens for me all the time. Work really hard one day and then get burned out and do nothing the next day. And it's like, wow, that could have balanced out to just be like 2 averagely productive days. Or I could have had 1 over the top extra day and then 1 normal day.
That also kind of goes back to how we were trying to answer the question of like, what is the answer to extreme highs and extreme lows, and how having a baseline constant that you're comfortable with mm-hmm. and you're happy with is going to help you to see the highs and lows as what they are, highs and lows. And regardless, you still have that constant rather than skipping over that constant or understanding that when there's a high or when there's a low, that constant doesn't exist. When that constant becomes like separate, you think about it separately from the highs and the lows, no matter what's happening around you, you're still going to be grounded and consistent, even if it doesn't feel as good or if it feels a lot better. The constant, like, routine, foundations, whatever it is, that's going to stay and that's going to make you feel better and that's going to make you feel a lot less like being jerked around or being on that roller coaster like we talked about in the beginning. It goes back to that constant. Even when you have those highs and you want to fight the urge to be like, this is my new normal, understanding that constant and where you are in that constant relatively is going to help you to take the highs as highs and take the lows as lows and be proud of the highs and be proud of coming out of the lows and leave it as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as I right now am feeling like my life is going high, low, high, low, high, low, and on the roller coaster that I talked about at the beginning of the episode, I know through this conversation that we just had that what I need to do is redefine what my constant is and refocus on what my constant is. Because if I'm letting myself be controlled by whatever it is, by different moods, by motivation coming and going, and I'm going back and forth between having really good days and really bad days, it's like I don't know what my constant is anymore. And so I don't really have that to revert back to, right? It's like now I've become very comfortable, or not comfortable because it doesn't feel that good, but I keep reverting to these polar opposites, right? Of high and low.
And with that, you've lost the sense of what is normal. So when you're high, you don't really know how up you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're down, you don't really know how down you are. You're just like, holy shit, that's a major difference. Whereas if you look at like a little graph, a little sine curve,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have that baseline, it feels like it's double. That's going to hurt. That's going to feel like absolute shit. So you need that baseline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I personally need to do is redefine what that baseline is and get comfortable with building out what my constant is. And we are going back to the U.S. very soon, so that's like definitely my main focus when we get back home. And when I do that is to redefine what my constant is, redefine what my routine is, because like I truly feel like I've had no solid routine. I have things that I do every day, but like I don't have
a constant routine,
and that's been kind of perpetuating this feeling. So that is my overall like extreme focus, is to redefine what that constant is and kind of ground myself back in my routine, my what is my normal, who I am, all of that.
And with that, welcome
to the double take.
Okay, so we're answering these questions from a little question box that we put up on our Instagram. If you want to go follow so that you can answer the next question box, or if you want to just DM us your question to be answered in the double take at the end of our episodes, our podcast Instagram is at Girls with Goals Pod, and then our personal Instagrams are at Anne Catherine Kaneen and
at Caroline Kaneen.
And those will, of course, all be linked below, so you can just go click and check it out. But let's get into it. The first question is, how do you find balance between setting goals and taking time to rest without guilt? And I think this is a universal experience. It's when you are trying to reach your goals, even if you want to rest physically, like mentally, sometimes it's hard to take a break, short or long, without being like, I'm wasting time or mm-hmm. I'm falling way behind. But the truth is that taking breaks and having periods of rest are going to put you so much further than if you didn't.
And I think that comes down to building rest into your routine and into your baseline. And we talk rest, we don't mean like go really hard for 1 week, take 1 week completely off, right? That's kind of feeding into a roller coaster of sorts.
That's creating the extremes for you.
But we mean building in rest in the sense of like every day, you can't be at 150 all day, every day, right?
Some days you're going to be at 150. Some days you're going to be a little bit below 100, you know? Some right. days you're going to be feel like you're at zero.
Yeah.
But when you're at that point, maybe it's because you need it.
I think my biggest advice when it comes to rest is don't look at rest just as your rest days. Also, look at what rest you can have within your life on days when you are working out and you are active, right? Because that is also when recovery happens. That's getting a good night's sleep. That's getting some stretch. That's taking just some chill, restful times during every day. So rest doesn't have to mean a full day off. Like, in every workout routine, like, you should have a couple days off a week, at least one. But then within all of those on days, where can you find a little bit of rest and recovery in each of those days as well?
Talking about everything outside of the gym too, like, the exact same mm-hmm. thing applies. If you're doing school, like, we have weekends for a reason. Like, you have to take a break in order to be energized enough and wanting enough to continue.
Yeah, because if you work yourself at 100, 150% every day, then, like, you are inevitably gonna reach a burnout point where you're forced to stop. And it's gonna hurt and be hard leading up to that. And then it's gonna be a long, hard period when that burnout does happen. So you're literally, like, you shouldn't feel guilt for building rest into your routine, because it's gonna be a lot worse when you work yourself to the ground and you reach burnout later.
Tips for being in a place in life where you have to wait to do what you want. Like, when you need to finish a chapter before you can continue on to what you want to do. That is so difficult, because it almost feels like once you realize that you have to wait, or you have to wait for something to be over before you can start something new officially, it just feels like you're wasting time a little bit. It feels like the in-between is not valuable anymore, but you just gotta, like, buckle up and get through it, and you can absolutely, like, make the most of the situation, taking the perspective of it maybe doesn't really matter a whole lot can be helpful if you do it in the right way. If you say, oh, like, there's a couple months between now and, like, when I go to college, if that's, like, your new chapter, when I start this new job, when I move apartments, whatever it is, if you take that time and just, like, take the expectations out of it, take the pressure off of it, you just have this freedom to kind of do what you want or do what you can that maybe you weren't able to before. But I think taking the pressure off of it and understanding that the time is going to pass, and I think it's going to pass way faster than you think it might be, so take that time and use it to the best of your ability and enjoy it.
I feel this a lot because for two things, because I think that when I set my mind on, like, okay, I'm ready for a change, I'm ready to move on from this, then, like, when I decide that I'm ready or I am out of something, then, like, mentally I check out, I'm ready. And so I definitely struggle with that waiting time too when things like that happen. Something to think about there is, like, you always miss a chapter of life once you're out of it, even if in the moment things, like, a lot of things, yeah, even if in the moment a lot of things don't feel good, when you look back on different time periods of your life, like, you're gonna remember the highlights, you're gonna remember the good things, and there are gonna be things about every phase of life that you're in that you miss, whether it's, I don't know, there's, like, it could even be the way that something is challenging you and the growth that you're going through right now that you miss, or it could be specific people, or it could be a specific place, or it could be who you are in this moment. There are so many different things. Or it could be just the lack of something else, right? Something might come in this next phase that you're not expecting, that is going to be a struggle and is going to be hard. And then you're going to look back and be like, oh, why did I rush into this, right? Like, why did I miss that old phase? So as frustrating as it is, do try to enjoy where you're at in the present, because there is a time when you're going to miss where you're at right now.
A fun one now. How many countries have you visited and lived in? Countries, so we were born and grew up in the U.S., and then we moved to Hong Kong, then back to the U.S., and now we're living in Singapore, and we're going to move back to the U.S. So three countries that we've lived in, and I don't know how many countries we've traveled to, but we've traveled quite a lot within Asia, which is one of my favorite places, biased, but...
Because we haven't been many other places.
Most of our travel has been in Asia mm-hmm. because, obviously, like, we've lived here and it's easy to move around. It's a lot easier to travel internationally from Asia or, of course, Europe than it is to travel from North America-ish.
Yeah, we lived in Hong Kong when we were 10 to when we were 14. And so those 4 years, we did a ton of traveling around Asia. I would say, like, we've definitely been to 15-plus countries, I think. Wait, really?
Yeah. Do you want to count? I counted one time in, like, 7th grade.
Okay, let's try like, places that we've been not Asia is when... Okay, so the U.S.
Jamaica.
We went to Jamaica.
Canada.
And then, literally, I feel like everywhere else is in Asia. So then, Hong Kong, China, Macau, Taiwan, Singapore, Cambodia, Thailand.
Vietnam.
The Philippines.
I did this with, like, a list in... Mm-hmm. In a class once before. Japan.
Oh, yes. We have not been to Korea.
I'm going to need, like, a list for this.
Okay, so we just counted 13 and I said 15. So I would say maybe if we're missing a couple, about 15, but at least 13. And if you can tell by that list, it's all Asia. I've never been to Europe. I'm dying to go to Europe. There's so many countries there that I want to visit. And South America, Africa, like, I would go... anywhere else. Oh, so I'm dying to do a tour somewhere. I want to go to Asia, but it's been great to get to know Asia a lot.
Besides, like, a Europe tour that hopefully we'll be able to take this summer to go visit some friends, some of the places that I want to go so badly are Morocco, South Africa, and, like, Gold Coast, Australia area. We'll definitely take
Greece. You want to go to Greece?
Yeah, I was saying besides Europe. Like, dream destination is Greece, Morocco.
Yeah. I want to travel a lot, and I definitely want to live internationally more in the future.
I talked about this with someone in my DMs when we were in Thailand. Someone said, how do you get to travel so often? And number one, growing up, we're fortunate enough that we're able to travel.
And that we were exposed to it young. Like, it wasn't our choice when we were 10 years old necessarily to move across the world and be exposed to so much travel and living in Asia.
But having that, like, growing up and having that as a part of us is now, like, I know I make it a priority.
However, we honestly, until now, hadn't traveled much in a very long time. Yeah. And that was frustrating, too. So
irritating.
Like everything else is a highlight reel. Like, we have been traveling a lot these past couple months because we're based in Singapore. Mm-hmm. But for years, we did not travel internationally after we left Hong Kong. And that was just a huge, like, challenge for us.
Around the U.S.
That was something where we felt like we were stuck in one chapter and we were, like, waiting and waiting to get to that next chapter where we could travel again, right? So just like everything else, highlight reel, really, that's something that we've struggled with a lot too, is not being able to travel much.
But my answer to that question was, like, I know I value it and I know I prioritize it, so I balance my other things, and maybe for me, traveling takes precedent over some other things that maybe other people hold higher in their life. And maybe also, some other things are lacking because I put different things as a priority. But
yeah. Try to also take opportunities through school. I know, like, we haven't traveled much, honestly, with friends. The only trip we've taken with friends has been, like, from here in Singapore, we went to Cambodia. Otherwise, most of our traveling's been with our family. And I think that it's really hard, especially if you want to do international travel, to coordinate with friends. Because a study abroad will put you in another country that'll be, like, your home base for a while, and then you can pop around from there a lot. So
that's absolutely why, obviously, studying abroad in Europe is, like, the most common thing to do, because it's a lot easier to move around from Europe.
And for anybody who didn't listen to our moving to Singapore episode or hasn't been following us as closely, we're here doing international internships right now because we're both international business majors at Northeastern in Boston. And so that, like, we chose that major specifically because there was a lot of travel opportunity with that. So again, looking for things through your school or in the communities that you are a part of.
Okay. Another question that we literally just got as I'm sitting here is, I still feel connected to my ex even though I have a boyfriend now. I don't know how to answer that one.
Well, obviously, because that person was, like, a huge part of your life for a while, and you had, at that point, a closer relationship with them than anyone else. So, like, I think it makes a lot of sense, and I actually think that it's kind of a crazy concept that, like, you break up with someone and then there's, like, supposed to be no contact, no feelings. There can be no contact, like, based on different situations. But the fact that you're expected to just be, like, no feelings, no thoughts or anything, it's, like, that's not realistic. And honestly, okay, I don't know what the actual whole interview was, but I saw something of Shawn Mendes recently.
Oh, I did see that,
and
too.
And he said something
it.
like, love is allowed to stay. Like, you're allowed to still have good memories about a person and good feelings about a person even though you don't still have that same relationship.
And if there's new people. But also, like Karen was saying, we look back on past experiences and past phases of life with a lot kinder eyes, or only see the highlights of them. Mm-hmm. So that might be what you're experiencing. And I don't know the timeline, obviously, of everything, but time will help for sure. But
yeah, that is so that's true. That's something very specific. When you miss a person, like, you miss all of the good parts. Like, it's very sugar-coated the way that you think back.
You don't even think about the bad parts at all.
And also remember, this is something that I feel a lot. Like, you can miss, like, what something was with a person at a time, or, like, who you were together, like, at that time. But it probably, considering that you're not together anymore, considering that you've probably grown apart, like, it probably wouldn't be the same. So you can, like, let it live in the past and have good memories and happy emotions about that in the past, and still be with somebody new and experience something new in the present.
Right, you can admire something and miss something without needing it.
Somebody asked me, what are your thoughts on 75 Hard? And if you guys don't know 75 Hard, it's like a pretty popular fitness challenge. And I don't know necessarily all the details of it, but I think it's like 2 workouts a day. One has to be outside. You have to read some amount of pages from a self-help book. You have to stick to, like, your no messing up your diet. You have to stick to a strict diet. It's a very, very... like, it's very strict. And the idea is you do it for 75 days. And if you mess up one thing any day at all, then you start over back at day one. And that is the concept that I don't like. I am not a fan of the challenge. I haven't done it myself. And I think that there's something to say for, like, bringing new healthy habits into your life, right? And having a burst of motivation and having a phase where maybe you're doing things more, right?
And there's discipline nothing wrong and consistency with that. And
what I do not like about the 75 Hard Challenge is if you miss one thing once, it's like you failed, start over.
Right. It's not even like necessarily that there's like a lack of leeway for any minor mistakes. It's that it takes such, it's like, it's good things packaged in such a negative and like demeaning and.
Yeah. It's like workout, eat well, read educational books that are going to help you. But if you don't do 2 workouts one day with at least one of them outside, then you fail.
You fail.
And if you don't stick to a super strict diet for one day out of 75 days, you fail. And if you skip reading one day, you fail, right? That just doesn't foster actual, like, long-term healthy habits and a good relationship with exercise, food, yourself at all, because you're constantly going to be thinking you failed.
But, and also, when you restart, if you miss a day and you restart, it's not like that day just magically goes away. Like, technically, you didn't restart because the 5 days before that, and the with one day missing, then the 75 days in front of that, like, that's still the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just keep on going?
Exactly. It just gets, like, you're allowed to have bad days and off days and not feel like a failure because of it.
Right.
And or even, like, imagine it rains one day and you just, like, can't do an outdoor workout and it's like,
what? Thundering and lightning, you know? Shit.
Like, that you don't fail. So I don't like it for that reason, but I think that the baseline habits of working out, reading, all of that is good.
Okay. The baseline and the idea behind it, and I think the motivations of people who want to start the challenge are great. I think the negative, aggressive lack, it almost, like, it's a fake mindset, because you're saying, like, I'm gonna be so positive and good, but actually it's like the reverse, because you're gonna be constantly in fear of failing. And what happens when you live in fear of failing is you fail. That's a given. The second you stop being afraid of failing is when failures stop being failures and just become growing opportunities. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did and want to follow the podcast on Spotify or Apple or wherever you're listening, we would love that. And also, you would then have the ability to give us a review, which helps us a lot, and we are so grateful. All of our Instagrams and TikToks and everything will be linked below if you want to check it out.
We love you guys, and we will see you next Monday. Bye! Bye.